Welcome. Week 15 of the NFL season. This is the Spread Nessun's NFL or football picks podcast. Excuse me for that slip of the tongue there. The NFL might be coming after me after that one. But I'm Nessun.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle and Andre Cacciatore. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing great, Mike.
Doing well.
What a Monday night game.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're the Lamar Jackson poop game, as everybody has affectionately dubbed it. Maybe we'll have to get in that a little bit later, whether or not he actually did have to relieve himself. I'm kind of already over that, but that's the life in 2020, where just Twitter just takes over everything. Lamar Jackson's bowel movements is a perfect segue to mention that we will be joined by a special guest at some point in this episode. Nessun hired a betting analyst. That's we're heading in the right direction here. Nessun is all about sports betting. And we'll be joined by new Nessun betting analyst, Sam Paniatovich. Sammy P, as he's affectionately called by some. He's doing a lot of stuff for us. His podcast, his Chicken Dinner podcast, is coming over to the Nessun Podcast Network. He's going to be doing a lot of writing and some on-air stuff as well. So he probably will jump in and join us for locks and upsets. I mean, who knows? He'll give us anything he's got, which it'll be a lot because he is tapped into to everything betting, so it'll be good to have him on. He might do some locks and upsets with us, but before we get to that, let's do our own picks. As we do every week, we do the three best games of the week. That is a very, very subjective term this week in week 15. We'll do that, and then we'll get to our locks and upsets, and then we'll hit the dusty trail. Before we do that though, Andre, how did we do last week?
Ricky and I had a very good week, both of us finishing 9-7. Mike, you went 6-10. I mean, you're still first. No, sorry. No, now you're second place in the overall standings. Ricky, 99 wins, leading the way. So
feels very close, though.
Yeah, we're all close. I have 96 wins. Mike, you have 97. We're all within 3 games. I wonder if that's because we all make picks together.
We're all in. You know, close to 500. We have proven absolutely nothing.
I also look at it as like we're playing against the dealer, you know, like this is like we're sitting at the card table. We're not exactly playing against each other. You know, it's maybe that's the teammate aspect of me, the camaraderie aspect of me. But yeah,
I do feel like psychologically, since we've been doing this for 5 years, we have very similar strategies on how we approach games. And
that's actually why I am interested, and we can talk to Sam when he comes on. I'm interested to talk to him about like his process and stuff, because he's not a professional bettor necessarily, but he does this a lot more than we do and probably looks at it differently. So I do agree with you. There is certainly some overlap. Like there is groupthink going on among the three of us.
I mean, how many times have I changed a pick in the middle of the show?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Ricky says.
That is literally, yeah, that's a good point.
It'll be, yeah. We need somebody to break us out of the echo chamber, if you will.
Yeah. So
reel us in.
I might be doing that a little bit this week. Just that this was, the board looks weird to me this week. But let's get into it. Starting Sunday afternoon, we got Saturday games this week. We're not doing any of the Saturday games, but we got Buffalo, Denver, and Green Bay, Carolina on Saturday. That'll be a nice little Saturday treat for us.
A Friday game too, right?
What?
No, we don't. Never mind. I don't know why my fantasy football playoff said that the Minnesota Vikings game was on a Friday.
I mean, you can never rule out a Friday game getting sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
We're not above Friday games.
It's bound to happen at some point. But no, we have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week. Do we have Thursday?
Big spreads. Big spreads.
Chargers and Raiders.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we get games every week. Every day of the week, it feels like. But we're going to zero in on Sunday. We've got the Seattle Seahawks fresh off of their thumping of the New York Jets. They head to the nation's capital to take on the Washington football team. Seahawks come into this one 9-4, Washington 6-7. Question marks about the football team's quarterback situation with Alex Smith leaving with a calf injury. There's a report out from NFL Media's Tom Pelissero that they are optimistic he will play and they won't have to go to Dwayne Haskins. Total set at 44.5 here. Seahawks laying 6 on the road. Ricky, who do you like?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't think I really care who's at quarterback this week for Washington. I like them regardless. And it stems from, obviously, I'm getting the points here, but I think that defense is good, man. We were sort of, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, but we were early adopters on this Washington football team defense. I mean, they're legit. They're up there. I'd say probably top 3 to 5 defenses in the NFL, solid against both the run and the pass. I mean, really, you could look across the board. You look at Football Outsiders DVOA, 4th in total DVOA, 4th on Pro Football Focus's overall defensive grades, 3rd in expected points contributed by the defense on Pro Football Reference. So, you know, a lot of different analytical websites all really paint the same picture, which is that this Washington defense is really, really good. And then I look at the matchup, and I guess for me, when it comes to figuring out whether they're going to be able to slow down the Seattle offense, I kind of look back to that Rams matchup a few weeks ago, which the Seahawks lost 23-16, because I think that Washington's defense is able to pose some problems similar to what the Rams can. That game, Russell Wilson, lowest completion percentage of the season, lowest passer rating of the season for him, and second lowest adjusted QBR of the season for him. It's the only game in which he didn't throw a touchdown, one of 3 games in which he threw multiple interceptions. So I just think that this is a situation where Washington can cause some similar problems. Keep it close at the very least, maybe win outright. Obviously, I would like to have some clarity on that Washington quarterback situation. I'd feel better knowing that Alex Smith was going to be under center, but regardless, I think that this could turn into a little bit of a low scored affair, in which case I'll take the points.
I'm scared how much I love Washington in this one. Rick, you talked about getting in front of Russell Wilson's face, and Washington's pass rush, they're 4th in sacks, so they're going to be able to bring some pressure. Seahawks offensive line is they've allowed the third most sacks in the NFL, so that trench advantage is highly in favor of Washington. So I do agree with a lot of what you said, Ricky. I think Russell Wilson's going to be under pressure in this game and maybe even make some mistakes. He's had a few games this year, as you said, where he's thrown multiple interceptions, multiple turnovers. And also, I usually don't like when the Seahawks are giving up that many points. They play in a lot of close games. 6 of their 9 games have come by one possession. So I'm getting that many points with Washington, especially if they're the home team, I'm going to take it. Also, Seattle, they love to run the ball. They're a running football team. They're, I think, 4th in rush attempts. And obviously Washington, they allow 4.1 rushing yards per attempt. That's 10th in the NFL. It's pretty solid. And they allow the 4th fewest yards per pass attempt as well. So even if Russell Wilson's throwing the ball, I think that defense is going to keep make this game close. And I don't think it matters who the quarterback is for Washington.
I don't think it matters who the quarterback is for Washington either way. I think they're going to get blown out. I like Seattle here. Because I started digging into the defensive stuff with Washington. And Ricky, you said we were kind of out in front of that. And I kind of want to be out in front of jumping off of the Washington defense, especially in this spot. They've been absolutely awesome the last 4 games. They've won the last forced 8 turnovers. They're allowing 14 points per game. That's awesome. They've been just terrors. But you look at who they've played. Cincinnati sucks. Dallas sucks. Pittsburgh, overrated, especially offensively. And San Francisco, led by Nick Mullins and who else? Not great offenses. Now you get, Russell Wilson is by far the best quarterback they've faced in that stretch and really all season. This is, I think, the highest ranked EPA offense that they've faced all season. Seattle's ranked 5th. You look at the times that they have, they haven't been perfect all season, that Washington defense. They've allowed 30 points 5 times. Cleveland, Baltimore, Arizona, the Rams, and Detroit. Like, those are, at least top half of the league offenses. So when they've been tested by average to good offenses, they've struggled just the same as everybody else. And if they get down, they're not going to be able to match points. I don't care how, what you think of the Seattle defense or whatever. Like, I don't think, Alex Smith certainly doesn't feel like the kind of quarterback that can throw you back into a game if he plays. And Dwayne Haskins is, a mess as well, potentially at least. Seattle, it feels like Seattle's kind of starting to round into form. I know that that Giants game, that kind of feels like a blip on the radar or an outlier. But, this is the healthiest their running backs have been. Seems like Rashard Penny, he's practicing as if he's going to play this week. They've just run the ball. They're ranked 1st in explosive run rate over the last 5 weeks. They're just kind of rolling. And they're getting Brandon Shell back on the offensive line this week. He missed the last 2 weeks. Quentin Dunbar in the secondary is coming back. So, like, Seattle feels like, they got that one bad loss out of the way. They responded well, very well last week. I think they're kind of, ready to get good for a stretch run here. My only concern, and this is kind of a point to you guys, is it could be a look ahead spot, like going on the road to face a meh Washington team when you've got the Rams the week after is tough. But I think they go in there, take care of business. And like I said, I just don't see how, if they are able to even do a little bit on offense, I don't see how Washington keeps pace offensively.
I will say this, though. Steelers were up 14-0 in that game 2 weeks ago, and that's a much better defense than Seattle. Washington sure, came back and they won that
but
game.
But you could also say, too, like, if Seattle gets up 14-0, they're probably putting it away because they have a much better offense than Pittsburgh does.
True, yes. They'll probably go back to their run.
I can't believe how well.
Also, I just want to make a correction. I said Seattle fourth in rush attempts. I meant to say they're seventh in yards per carry. It's an inaccuracy I just wanted to clear up.
Wow, thank you. That is a gentleman. I like I said, I just can't get over how well Seattle run the ball lately. So I like Seahawks here. And it does feel weird laying six with a team that feels like it's just kind of fluky week to week. But
I think that's my thing is that, like, Andre, you mentioned the sort of the Seattle's knack for playing in close games. And so maybe that's, like, making me feel uncomfortable about laying this many points. Like, I think I look at these two teams, and Seattle is a team that I absolutely hate laying more than a field goal. And I think Washington is a team where I love getting the points. So, like, I do think, like you said, Mike, that I think there is going to come a point where sort of things are going to start to regress. And maybe this is the week to sort of get ahead of that, where, you know, everybody sort of gets on Washington a little bit. They start to be overvalued. But it just seems like it's a lot of points.
Yeah, I could see this 24-10, something like that, though. So I like, yeah.
Only three of Seattle's wins have been by more than the possession. One of those was against the Jets. So.
They were impressive. So
they were.
All right. Also Sunday afternoon, NFC North matchup. This is how bad the week is, but we got 2-6-7 teams. A game that I guess technically does have playoff implications, at least for one more week. You've got the Bears fresh off of their blowout win. I guess it was a blowout win at home against a severely undermanned Houston team. They have to go on the road to take on Minnesota. Minnesota got more or less blown out. Tried to make it close late against Tampa Bay. Dan Bailey is just a complete cluster F in the kicking game. Rematch of week 10, Minnesota won that game 19-13, but as we'll get into a little bit later, Chicago was missing a few key components in that game. So like I said, Vikings laying 3 at home here. Andre, who do you got?
I'm not confident in this, but I'm going with the Vikings season sweep. I'm gonna rely on Dalvin Cook in this game. Look, Tampa Bay they have the best rushing defense in football. It didn't matter. Dalvin Cook went off for 102 yards and a touchdown. Vikings average nearly 5 yards per carry. Running the football is in their DNA. Chicago's rush defense is solid, but it's nowhere near as good as Tampa Bay's. Pretty middle in the pack. So I think Minnesota still succeeds running the ball. And I'm not going to ignore the fact that the Vikings, their losses, most of their losses this season have come against really good teams. Packers, Colts, Titans, Seahawks, and Bucks. Those are all playoff teams with legitimate shots for the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to ignore that. And now the Vikings are playing the Bears, who are not don't have that caliber that those teams that I just mentioned do, or 23rd in yards per play differential. Their offense stinks. Sure, last week they did well against Houston's atrocious defense, but Minnesota's more of a complete team. They're, you know, I always joke that, you know, they're one of the best bad teams in the NFL, right? And I stand by that. So I'll take the Vikings in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was a little concerned going into last week that Minnesota's offense was, you know, too predictable and they'd be unable to run the ball against Tampa Bay's defense. But, you know, they were able to pick up some chunk yardage. And I think that it's going to be a little bit of an easier time this week against the Bears defense, which has shown some cracks. I mean, I know they stepped up in that game against Houston, but I think a lot of that is, you know, I think both offensively and defensively, what Chicago was able to do this past week said more about the state of Houston and just sort of that depleted roster than it did about anything about the Bears. So I just look at, you know, the Vikings offense, third explosive play rate behind the Chiefs and Browns, able to run the ball. Like I said, that the Bears defense has shown those cracks, 27th in explosive run rate against and 22nd in explosive pass rate against. You know, two things that Minnesota has done well really in recent seasons, and it's sort of carried over into this year, even amid their struggles, is that they're typically pretty good on third down and in the red zone. I look at the Bears offense, dead last in third down conversion percentage, 16th in red zone offense. So I think that they're going to leave some points out there. Yeah, this is, this game's kind of a coin flip. I don't really think too highly of either of these teams. I think they just sort of they're good enough to take advantage of inferior opponents, but ultimately aren't good enough to do anything if either one of them makes the playoffs. So I guess I'll just sort of roll with the home team as well. Probably be decided by, you know, a touchdown or so, but I'll lay the points there. I'll take Minnesota.
Give me the points. I'll take Chicago here. You look at what they've been able to do offensively the last 3 weeks. Well, actually, let's go back to that, the first Minnesota game, you know, 19-13, just an absolute tractor pull. The Bears didn't have Mitch Trubisky or David Montgomery in that game. Nick Foles and Tyler Bray, by the way, 16 of 31, 124 yards and a pick. Just absolutely nothing offensively for the Bears in that game. They got Trubisky back, got him under center. Last 3 weeks against Green Bay, Detroit, and Houston, you know, not the greatest defenses, but they're eighth in APA per play, early down success rate. They're fourth in rushing, second passing, second overall, explosive play ranks. The rushing attack has been awesome. Third, they're 18th overall. They're averaging 30 points per game, 6 yards per play. They're sixth in points per play in that stretch behind just Baltimore, Tennessee, Green Bay, Cleveland, and Indy. They've been a good offense since Mitch Trubisky got back. And you know, they've taken advantage of it. And it looks like they've kind of found something there. You look at, you know, the Dalvin Cook thing is legit, and I'm just going off of some historical data here, but Dalvin Cook, 4 games against the Bears in his career, averaging just 2.8 yards per carry. Minnesota, you can't trust Minnesota in the kicking game. Like I said, Dan Bailey has not been a wonderful life for him. Missed 3 field goals and a PAT last week. That was the difference between them covering against Tampa Bay or even possibly winning. You know, Chicago, it's just it feels like a decent spot for them. They have a little bit more momentum going here. I think they, you know, they haven't pressured the quarterback a ton this year. They don't blitz much either. But you saw last week, Tampa Bay was able to get after Kirk Cousins, tying a career high for him with 12 hits, 6 sacks. And they didn't have to blitz a ton. We thought they'd have to blitz a lot. So this feels like this could be like a Khalil Mack, you know, just takes over the game. Also, injury issue with Eric Kendricks, Minnesota linebacker. If he can't play, then I really like the Bears to run the ball. So I just like that I'm getting the points here. I like how well Chicago's offense has looked recently. So I'll take them against the. It just feels like they're trending in the right direction too, as opposed to Minnesota, which kind of looks like it's done. So,
yeah, this is the ultimate like shrug emoji game where you just slap the 3 points red on it and
yeah,
see where the money comes in.
The opposite of a shrug emoji game is I don't know what exactly how you would define that, but it is the Kansas City Chiefs heading to New Orleans to play the Saints Sunday afternoon. It's a 4:25 kick. Romo and Nance special, the Chiefs coming off of, you know, a game in which Pat Mahomes looked, you know, relatively mortal, and they still won fairly easily, against, Miami. They head to, New Orleans, the Saints coming off of a loss at Philly, big game for New Orleans, I guess technically a big one for Kansas City as well, as they get closer to the number one seed in the AFC. Right now, we got the Chiefs laying 3.5 on the road. Totals at 51.5. Ricky, who do you like?
It's pretty amazing where the Chiefs are at now with their in terms of covering the spread. I think it was a few weeks ago that we sat here and sort of talked about how they were turning into what the Patriots were for so many years and just their ability to cover. Now you look 0-5 against the spread in the last 5 games, which is the longest active non-covering streak in the NFL. So, and it's weird too because, I mean, this past week, the ebbs and flows of that game were pretty unique, but ultimately they obviously should have covered, and there was that field goal at the end to keep it within the number. I mean, it just feel like week to week, the Chiefs are sort of the more comfortable play given their sailing, and obviously these two teams both have a Super Bowl sailing, and the Chiefs having a much higher floor when you look at just the way that the Saints can bottom out, particularly with Taysom Hill under center. I mean, we saw it against Philadelphia. Able to sort of cause some problems up front, take away that rushing attack. Saints obviously prone to shooting themselves in the foot as well. Like they lead the NFL in penalty yards per game. But I'm not going to let last week take away from what I've seen from them defensively leading into that game. I think I just like taking the points there and sort of hoping for the best when it comes to New Orleans keeping it within the number. So, yeah, I'll take the Saints. I don't feel great about it. Like I said, I think the Chiefs are the more comfortable play really week to week. But sometimes you got to get a little uncomfortable. So I'll take New Orleans.
Ricky, if we were in geometry class together in high school, and I'm sure the teacher would always accuse us of cheating on each other's tests because we would have the same answers.
Why geometry?
I don't know. It's the only class. First class.
He was a big mathematician at USC. In
my early days, yes, in my formative years. I'm going to take the I agree with Ricky. I'm going to take the Saints. I like that everyone's high on the Chiefs right now, the NFL's best record, and everyone's, you know, kind of backing away from the Saints because of that loss against the Eagles. But what's Kansas City's biggest weakness? I say this all the time, is their rush defense. It's not good at all. And the Saints, they love to run the ball. They're fourth in rush attempts, average nearly 4.5 yards per carry. That's going to bite Kansas City in the butt eventually. And I think this is the week, especially since they're just riding so high, 11-1, confident. What's that look, Mike, that you're giving?
Well, I just want to know what numbers you're looking at with the Kansas City run defense.
You look at the rushing yards allowed per carry. They've, pull it up for you since you're asking.
I have a few numbers of my own, so I just want to.
When the geometry background comes in. He's got these formulas and.
Pythagorean theorem of the.
They've allowed the fourth most yards per carry in the NFL.
Okay.
It's bad. It's not good. The only teams worse are Cowboys, Texans, Raiders. That's not a good rush defense. It's not something they're known for. And also, the last five Chiefs games were all decided by one possession. Ricky, you were saying how easily they used to cover.
Five against spread. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I'm going to take the Saints. They're at home. Drew Brees might even come back, too. He might even play, but that's we don't know that yet for sure.
The fact that there's a number on this makes me think that Drew Brees is not going to play, or if he is going to play, it doesn't make a huge difference, I guess. I don't know. I'm with you. I like the narrative of the run defense of the Chiefs. That is, you know, you think of the Chiefs, it's like bad run defense. But I looked into it, and it hasn't been that bad recently. In the last 5 weeks, when they've played Carolina, Vegas, Tampa, Denver, and Miami, last 5 weeks they've ranked fifth in early down success rate defensively against the run. They rank second in explosive run rate allowed the last 5 weeks. They've been better against the run the last 5 weeks against, like I said, some pretty decent running attacks. And I think part of it is because, you know, the numbers look good, like in terms of yard per carry, but like how often are you going to run the ball against the Chiefs? Like
decent running attacks. You're looking at Miami, Denver, the last couple of weeks. Like,
look, okay. I mean, I'm going to sit here and bite my tongue because what you're saying, Andre, is going to just only try to support our point. But, I mean, all we got to do is look back to last year. Their run defense sucked last year, and they managed to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's kind of irrelevant when it comes to the Chiefs, I feel.
Right. The numbers look great. It's like, so what happens how good is that running attack if it's 14-0 in the second quarter? Or how good is the run what does the run defense matter? You know, great, you can – You gotta catch up 14 points against
Pat. Yeah, but that's not gonna happen against the Saints defense that they allow the fifth fewest yards per pass attempt, 3.7 yards per carry.
That is a slight issue. Yes, I am concerned about that.
Saints defense, we're forgetting about that. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, and I mean the Saints defense is, you know, they have feasted on some bad teams recently too. You know, Denver, that Denver game. Wow, that was real impressive. That Saints defense looked awesome against some kid from JUCO or whatever, who was a wide receiver.
Like they also held Tampa Bay to 3 points, Atlanta to 9 points.
Yeah, they're good, but like this is easily the best offense that they faced all year. There is a square element to this for me taking the Chiefs. I admit that, but like I don't know, I'm not gonna bet against Pat Mahomes going up against Taysom Hill, because like Taysom Hill is a whole nother thing. Like, I think it's more likely that the Chiefs find a way to score against that Saints defense. And if they do, that running game for, you know, New Orleans goes out the window. And do you feel good about Taysom Hill throwing the football to get you back in the game?
No.
I don't love that at all. So it's more of just, I think it's more likely that the Chiefs can do something offensively. And if that's the case, I don't like how the Saints are built to get back into the game. Also feels like that 3.5 is like kind of baiting me into staying away from, you know, I mean, remember that, Ricky, that old thing, like the 3.5 with, I think it was John Campbell at Odd Shark did a whole deep dive into that, where it's basically the, you know, the half points there to convince you that maybe it's not a great pick when
smoke and mirrors.
It might be, yeah. So I don't know. It'll be a good game, I guess. I don't know. It'd be better if Breeze was playing, but I'm very down on Taysom Hill. I don't get it at all. I don't get the Taysom Hill thing.
Maybe Jameis Winston comes in and saves it.
That would be sick. Let's do Jameis Winston versus Pat Mahomes. That would be that's better than Monday night, probably. So
hammer the over.
Sure, whatever. All right, let's get into locks and upsets or whatever we're about to do. But we are joined. If anybody's watching on YouTube, they're like, why is there just a random person sitting there? as we mentioned, nesting betting analyst Sam Peniatovich. Did I say that right, Sam?
You did, Mike Cole. Thank you very much.
Nailing it. Is joining us here for locks and upsets.
Actually, Mike Cole.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see the mark on the name. I didn't know what they called it.
I always forget to put it in. But Sam, how are you?
I'm doing great. I heard you guys talking about locks and upsets. You know, lock is one of my least favorite words in the space. So we're off to a great start.
Like, it's just like a, you know, hardo, like, we're smarter than you thing. Nobody likes using locks. I get it. Yeah, I know. Fine. We'll show you how it's done. Maybe you can jump in if you want. We at least, you know, we have the guts to put it out there and look stupid every week. So, Andre, why don't you, speaking of stupid, Andre, what's your lock this week?
The bigger lock is probably fading our locks.
Well, that's the other thing too. So yeah,
it's all relative.
I really like, my lock. I like the San Francisco 49ers 2.5 point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys. I think people might be a little bit high on the Cowboys after they beat the Bengals this past week by a lot of points. And what are the 49ers? They didn't win, did they? But anyway, so I love San Francisco over Dallas. I think, again, people are high on Dallas. They're not very good. They took advantage of a very bad defense against Cincinnati. That 49ers defense is much better. They allow just 5.2 yards per play. Bengals allow nearly 6. So Andy Dalton's going to have a tough time against that defense. Plus the 49ers, we're going to have a probably really easy time against that horrendous Dallas defense, which, you know, looked much better than it actually is against the Bengals.
I like the Colts, 7-point favorites over the Texans. I just spent a little time dumping all over Houston a little while ago, so I might as well come full circle with it. You know, much has been made about that receiving core in Houston, how depleted it's been. You got Will Fuller out, Randall Cobb out, plus Brandon Cooks missed this past Sunday's game. But I think the bigger concern there is that defense. Serious issues in the secondary on top of being unable to stop the run. Texans 27th in coverage and 31st against the run, according to Pro Football Focus. Only the Lions and Raiders grade out worse overall defensively. I just think this is a game where the Colts are going to be able to, you know, sort of push them around up front, control the line of scrimmage, potentially on both sides of the ball. If you're big into trends, Texans 4-9 against the spread this season, tied with the Jets for the second worst mark in the NFL. Colts have dominated this matchup head-to-head, going 11-3-1 against the spread dating back to 2013. That includes a 5-game against the spread winning streak for Indianapolis in these head-to-head matchups. So just a lot sort of working in Indianapolis's favor here. But ultimately for me, it comes down to just the state of the Texans.
Yeah. I like the Browns Sunday night, flexed into a Sunday night at the Giants. The Browns laying 3.5 right now. You know, Giants, nice story.
Odell Beckham revenge game.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That would have been awesome if he was playing. But I look at the Giants run defense last 5 weeks, 30th in EPA allowed per play, against the run, 31st explosive run rate allowed, 15th, early down success rate, stopping the run. Cleveland averaging almost 170 yards on the ground last 5 weeks. They're 4-1 in that stretch. The only loss obviously coming Monday night, which was a relative coin flip. They're averaging 28.4 points per game. Similar to the Chiefs Saints game, if Cleveland gets up early by, you know, running down Giants' throat, basically, I just question how much firepower the Giants have to get back into that one. So I will not be scared by that number. I'll take the Browns to bounce back. Despite the fact, though, that the Browns are now, what are they, like 9-4, something like that, and they have like a minus 19 or minus 20 point differential. That seems bad. So they're probably not as good a record indicates, but I think they get back on the winning track this week. Sam, you don't have to have a lock. Is there anything you like this week? We'll let you
call it whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Philadelphia, Arizona over, and this market's moving up too. There are two things I did to Philly after the last game. I downgraded their secondary on defense and I upgraded their offense because they didn't really have many negative plays. Carson Wentz was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the last 3 years of the NFL, but Jalen Hurts was moving the chains and moving the ball, getting positive plays. I also think Arizona was shackled in their last couple games. Patriots, Rams, and Giants. On the surface, what do they all do well? They slow the game. They stop the run. You know, I mean, three good defenses on the surface. This could be a track meet. It's like when you wear ankle weights and then you take them off and you could run. This is one of those games, I think, for Arizona, because Philly sucks on defense. And we know Kingsbury, they're going to go for it on fourth and short. They play the numbers. This total has gone from 47.5 to 48.5. I see a couple 49s right now on the board. Don't wait until Sunday either, Andre. Don't wait, because this might get to 50. Whatever you have right now, if you have 48.5, go over right now. This game will be in the 30s, but always get the right number.
I'm even seeing 49.5 in some spots too. So it's it is climbing to that point. Ricky, what do you got? Any upset?
Let me see here. Upset. I think I'll take the Falcons. 6-point underdogs against the Bucs game in Atlanta. Obviously Tampa Bay benefiting last week from Dan Bailey's inability to kick the football. Falcons, meanwhile, should have won and covered against the Chargers if not for that late game interception by Matt Ryan. I just think we're seeing some regression from that Bucs defense as the season has gone on. And meanwhile, some improvement from the Falcons defense since Dan Quinn's dismissal. So, you know, I think that this is a spot where Calvin Ridley could find some success against Carlton Davis, who we saw what Tyreek Hill did to him a couple of weeks ago. So obviously a tough assignment there. And the Falcons have had some success in this head-to-head matchup as well. Obviously that was pre-Tom Brady, but they've won 6 of the last 7 head-to-head. So in Atlanta, I think getting the points here is something that appeases me, if you will.
I like New England over Miami, 2.5-point underdogs. I go back to this stat a lot. It's Bill Belichick against inexperienced and young quarterbacks. Since 2005, Patriots and Belichick are 58-9 against quarterbacks who have made 16 or fewer starts in their careers. Tua Tagovailoa is obviously a young and inexperienced quarterback. Those quarterbacks have a total of 68 touchdowns and 80 interceptions in those games. Sure, not all those quarterbacks that Belichick faced were first-round draft picks, but the last inexperienced quarterback the Patriots faced was Justin Herbert, and the Patriots won that game 45-0. So this is a must-win situation for the Patriots. I think they throw everything at the Tagovailoa and the Dolphins.
That's a total I might be on the under on, although it's going to probably drop. 41.5. I feel like not a lot of points scored on either side, because that's the thing. The Miami defense has been good. The Patriots offense stinks. For my upset, I've got Ricky. The Nesson.com's picks column championship, the spread championship, whatever you want to say, I think it's decided this week, because you and I are on the opposite side of a lot. And you had Indy as your lock. Well, I've got Houston as my upset. I like the Texans here. We go back, what was it, a couple weeks, a game that, you know, Houston almost won that game. Now my screen's all messed up. Houston almost won that game against Indy. You know, they had the ball late driving. They turned it over, and that was that. I think Brandon Cooks is going to be back this week, so I like that. You also look at the Indy passing defense the last 5 weeks has been really bad. So I don't know. I think, you know, Deshaun Watson kind of has one more strong game this season. Keeps them close. And I like them. If this game is tight late, I trust Deshaun Watson more than I trust Phil Rivers. So I would not be surprised to see Houston kind of really throw a wrench into this entire playoff picture by beating the Colts on the road, getting 7 points there. So
not buying the T.Y. Hilton late season renaissance.
No, T.Y. Hilton porked my fantasy team this season. I dropped him and now he looks good. It's just, maybe that's part of it. I just want nothing to do with the Colts right now. They stink and I hate them. Sam, do you got anything?
Do they have to win outright, or can they cover? I need the rules.
Typically,
we've been debating that for 5 weeks.
Yeah. By me a few weeks ago when I had Washington outright beating Pittsburgh. I mean, that's, we like to put our marbles on the table here. But you can do whatever you want. You're the guest in our house.
You brought up guts and marbles now in like 5 minutes. I love that. That's amazing. All right, let me give you two. How about that for guts and marbles? All right.
No, only one here.
Only one? Too many guts. All right, give me Chicago.
1.5. Don't take
Chicago,
the over.
Chicago, plus a 3. Chicago Bears win the game outright. They're a better team with Mitch Trubisky. They just are. And the offense moves up and down the field. I will say this, because I've been in Chicago and I've covered this team for years here. With Nick Foles, they almost had to play the perfect game defensively. They had to go up, and then the defense had to hold you to 20 points or whatever. With Trubisky, they can at least move the ball. They can come from behind. And let's not forget, Mitch has been really good as a starter this year. I think he's 4-1 as a starter, and the only loss came to the Green Bay Packers. So they play better with Trubisky, even though everybody wanted to bench Trubisky for Foles. Look at this number, too. Las Vegas books opened at 3.5, Minnesota minus 3.5. And right away, the first thing that happened in the market, that hook went away, down to 3. Mitch Trubisky also 4-2 all-time in his career against the Minnesota Vikings. For some reason, he beats the Vikings, and he can't beat the Packers. I like the Bears here plus the 3, and I think they win this game outright.
Wow. It's very convincing arguments.
Oh, so now it's convincing when he says it?
No, the first thing I said when I gave my Vikings pick, I said, I don't like it, but I'm going to go with the Vikings. I'm not confident. Yeah.
Sam, we picked that game earlier. It was one of our 3 marquee games of the week, which tells you a lot about this week. But, I was on the Bears. These two knuckleheads are on the Vikings. Trubisky's a dink, but the offense is undeniably better with him under center. The numbers last 3 weeks have been really good. So I feel better about my pick now. So that's what we do.
What's the other?
Oh, you said one, Ricky.
No, we'll help it up a bit. I'm curious.
Look, I'll say this. I'm going to let this number keep climbing. This is not to win. This is the cover. Is there a sexier team in the NFL right now than the Buffalo Bills? I mean, like, the mailman dropped the mail off yesterday. He's like, hey, I kind of like Buffalo. I'm like, yeah, I bet you do, dude. This number is going to get to 7. And this is one of those weird Saturday afternoon kicks in the Rocky Mountains. I have seen wild stuff over the years in Denver. I'm not saying Denver's going to win. But this spread right now, 6.5, juice to the favorite. It's probably going to get to 7. And Vic Fangio against any quarterback, especially the hot quarterback, the new kid on the block, Josh Allen. Buffalo wins, but it might be by a field goal. It might be by 4, might be by 6. I don't think they're going to cover 7. But wait till kickoff. You could get a 7 on the Denver Broncos. That defense is good enough to keep them in this game.
I love that. Like, the Broncos pass defense is among the best in the league. You can run on them a little bit, I think, but like, it's not like that's what Buffalo is going to want to do or is really comfortable doing. So
what's the weather going to be like in that game?
I hope it's a blizzard. Just give me snow. I need pounds of snow, and then I'll like it even more.
What do you got? What do you, this is
got his Doppler up.
It's not even up there. It's not on NFL weather.
You can't find the weather, Andre?
Denver forecast. This is awesome.
We established that math is his strong suit. Meteorology comes very far down his list of academia.
I'm really good with blizzard predictions.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be like 40s and clear.
Okay. I pulled the forecast up. It says a cover for Denver. How about that? Oh!
Sam, why don't you tell us about yourself, what you're going to do at Ness, and what just – have at it. What's sell us on Sam Paniatovich.
Oh, I wasn't prepared for this. Well, look, I lived in Vegas for about 1.5 years, and I got to study the lines with the guys who made the lines and moved the lines, and got pretty much, it was like an internship with bookies is the way I like to shape it. So sort of understanding why a line opens where it does, why it moves where it does, how they handle sharp action, why they keep booking square action, who they limit, why they don't limit them, all these different parameters inside the space, right? So I've sort of seen the sausage made, and I think that was a very strong experience to sort of understand the market. But we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff at Nesson. I appreciate you guys having me on your show, but a lot of columns on .com, and I've been told that sports betting is coming to Massachusetts pretty soon. I have it on good authority that will happen, and when that does happen, you guys can do 2+2. Nesson, I believe, last time I checked, has the Red Sox and the Bruins. So some exciting things ahead as this direction and this industry goes up and to the right. Looking forward to hopefully picking more winners than losers. But I can say this, Michael, I'm honest and I'm transparent. I'm going to lose a lot, and that's why you'll like me.
There's no problem with losing.
No. Nope. Like,
you know, at least if you lose a ton.
Good information.
Yeah, you're just as valuable. If you lose a ton, it's like, well, I'm not going to do what this guy says, and you could win. I don't know. I'm with you. I hope your sources are good, because we need sports betting in Massachusetts, because I think we're either getting sick of sketchy offshore wagering or having to drive to New Hampshire or Rhode Island to place a bet on a Sunday morning. I know there are people who get in their car, drive across the border, pull over on the highway, log on to an online book, place their bets, drive back, and go crazy. So it'd be far more convenient and far more lucrative. So it is good to have you. It is nice to have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about around here. So that's good in terms of philosophies and things like that. I thought your first story on Nesson.com was very good. And it has me thinking that I actually like the Dolphins. So I don't know if that's the biggest takeaway, but that was interesting as well. You have your Chicken Dinner podcast, which is going to be part of the Nesson podcast network. So that is delightful. You'll be on After Hours, all that. So basically, this is a warning to the entire public that you're going to be seeing a lot more of that face and hearing that voice a lot more, for better or worse. So welcome aboard, I guess.
Welcome aboard, I guess. Thank you, guys.
This all sounds nice, but after talking to us, he's going to hand in his 2 weeks once second he gets off this podcast.
I'm stuck here for a while.
Before we go, Sam, do you got anything for a college football championship weekend?
This is too many points for the Florida Gators, boys. I mean, I understand Alabama has covered against everybody pretty much this season, and they've covered in the first half. I saw their last seven games, they've covered by 14 points or more, but they also haven't played any of the big boys. Even Georgia this year isn't as strong as they were on the surface coming into the season. Kyle Pitts, I believe he's going to play. He is a top five pick in the NFL draft for the Florida Gators. He is a guy that's going to give them problems over the middle. I'm not saying Florida's going to win, but I think them losing to LSU makes Alabama even more obvious. And this number is 17 right now. Alabama laying 17 points in a conference championship game. We know Alabama's going to score. That defense can be had, though. This game could be, 49-31, 49-35. I think Alabama's going to score a lot, but I think Florida's going to hang in there. This number's going to keep climbing up, too. But I like 17 points with the Gators. Just keep it close. Give me a couple touchdowns here and there.
It is it's not your father's SEC anymore, that's for sure. And as long as LSU doesn't throw any shoes, I like their chances as well. So
yeah, no doubt.
Remember that drink, Mike? Not your father's root beer?
Yeah, that was – oh, my God. I was addicted to that stuff for a summer. Probably gave me like
that three cavities. That was a drink of 2015 summer.
Yeah, it gave me like three cavities, 20 pounds, and now I can't even –
Very unhealthy.
Holy moly. Great drink, though, for that one summer. And that's the final thought, Sam. Thanks for joining us. We'll make sure to check out Sam's stuff on Nesson.com. Follow him on Twitter. Subscribe to his podcast. Subscribe to our podcast as well. And we'll be back again next week.